Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Ann Klockner, our guest this morning. She is with Legal Aid Works, legalaidworks.org, the website. If at any time this morning you want to check out or later on check out what Legal Aid Works and what they offer. Ann, it is good to have you back this morning. We had a great conversation last week. A lot of real basic things we all deal with. You're good at being able to pinpoint that, and we welcome you back. Good morning.
So glad to be here. Thanks a lot, Ted.
We're going to jump right into it this morning, and as we go along, we'll talk about the good work of Legal Aid Works in the area. But one of the topics I know that you had really wanted us to kind of hone in on this morning was unemployment benefits, because for a lot of people right now dealing with this may be the first time they've ever dealt with unemployment, and there's a lot to learn.
There is. Not only is it an area that most people don't deal with, luckily, but there's a lot of new provisions that have just been added. So even if you thought you understood what the rules are for unemployment insurance, we've got new rules, new eligibility, and new benefits that just got opened up with the CARES Act that was passed by Congress.
And I guess dealing with that probably on all ends, whether it's you're at the receiver end or also with the state and government themselves, I'm sure there's just like we have dealt with everything right now, there's a learning curve for everyone.
There's a learning curve, and also there's just a huge crush of everybody applying all at once. So patience and persistence are going to be the watchwords here, because millions and millions of people have been applying all over the country now for unemployment, and the states are really doing their best to process them one at a time, and it's going to take a little bit for that to sort out. So we're dealing with new information, new facts, sometimes changing daily, and a really big, overwhelming number of people applying.
Boy, patience and persistence. Those are great words, and for everything we deal with, whether you're going to buy some food and driving up to get it, or anything, because it is. It's such a new world for all of us.
And that's what I've had to do, too, because I like to do everything fast, and I like to do everything perfectly, and I'm using another phrase now, progress, not perfection. So if I feel like I'm getting somewhere, and it's not exactly where I hope I am supposed to be, I'm trying to accept that. It's not easy for perfection.
Progress, not perfection. I like that one too. That's a good. And in a lot of times when you deal with some of these issues with people, the people on the other end are so apologetic for not knowing or for having there be bumps. And I find myself a lot of times just saying it's okay. We're all dealing with this, but progress, not perfection, because you think about it, it's been about a month, and we've been dealing with, some of us are dealing with things that we never thought we would ever have to deal with, and one of those is the situation with unemployment.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think is the most important thing to know about unemployment right now is they've set up two categories. One is, well, I guess what you would call regular unemployment, which is, it's just the typical unemployment benefits that you file. It's a state program. It's not something that's federal. It's you go to each of your separate 50 states to apply. If you're working in a particular state, you apply for their unemployment benefits. If you're already approved, I want to make this clear, you don't have to do anything else. You just have to keep certifying each week that you're looking for a job and that you don't have a job right now. The other thing about the typical unemployment insurance is they are now adding an extra $600 a week. That is automatically getting an additional $600 a week, and that started March 27th, and that's going to go through July, through the end of July. So that's the big, huge change in regular unemployment.
And I guess that's just because of the situation we're in?
Correct. And then if you've run out of unemployment because it has a very limited time frame, they've added an extra 13 weeks. The CARES Act extends state unemployment programs by 13 weeks for those who have exhausted their unemployment insurance allowance. So two big changes to regular unemployment is that $600 extra a week and extending it for 13 more weeks. That is huge for folks who are really on the edge. So that's the big takeaway for regular. I'm always putting this in air quotes because there's nothing regular about anything right now.
Yeah.
But for the typical unemployment insurance that has been in place for a while, those are the two big new changes.
And you said that this took place at the end of March, so it's already in place.
Correct. If you're applying now, that is what's in place. And we encourage people to go ahead and apply. If you're unemployed, you don't know when you're going to get back to work. You think, well, maybe I'll wait a little bit. Apply now. It is just get in the pipeline. If it turns out you get employed again, yay you. That's great. But you don't know what's going to be happening. So the best thing to do now is to get in that pipeline.
How long does it take? Say I hear this and I think, okay, well then I do need to get this going. What's then my next step? Who do I contact?
The portal that you need to be dealing with here for unemployment insurance is the Virginia Employment Commission. So that's VEC. I think it's .virginia.gov. I think that's what it is. Yeah, it's www.vec.virginia.gov. They have tons of information on that website. You apply online. So that's the portal to get started.
Okay, we're talking unemployment this morning. We're also going to talk about dealing with creditors as we go along this morning. Ann Klockner here from Legal Aid Works, legalaidworks.org, the website. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the things Legal Aid Works does and continue to talk about. Got a few more questions for you on unemployment benefits. Ann Klockner here. We will take a quick break and be right back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Ann Klockner here this morning. She is with Legal Aid Works. LegalAidWorks.org is the website to find out about that. And we're going to talk about Legal Aid Works in just a second. We've been talking about unemployment. And because we're dealing, and you mentioned, and a lot of this, if you're tuning in late, we will talk about it before we get out of here this morning at the end of the show. But we talked about the $600 more dollars and the additional 13 weeks. Because we're in such a unique situation, is there anything else out there as far as with unemployment that sort of relates to the fact that we're in a pandemic?
In addition to that unemployment insurance, Congress has come up with a new acronym, PUA, and it stands for Pandemic Unemployment Assistance. And that's special. That's not your average ordinary unemployment insurance. That's unemployment assistance for people who normally are not covered by unemployment insurance. So these are for people who are self-employed, who are independent contractors, freelancers, workers who are just seeking part-time work, workers without a long enough history to qualify for unemployment benefits. So they've separated out a new category of pandemic unemployment assistance for that category of worker.
Isn't that interesting?
Someone who's self-employed, independent contractors, freelancers, part-timers, and people who haven't had a work history.
That is so interesting, Ann. Just because I was wondering if those people were at all covered, because like you say, normally they're not. This gives them then a little bit of assistance and some help here.
You bet, because the gig economy has been growing over the years, and we just have not folded them into unemployment yet. And now, during this pandemic, there is this exception for them. So it runs from January 27th to December 31st of this year. So basically, they made it run for pretty much this entire year. And you're eligible for retroactive benefits, which is really important. So that means if you apply now and you can prove that you lost your job or your ability to work as a self-employed person as of January 27th, you could be eligible for retroactive benefits. You can access these benefits for 39 weeks if you are a pandemic unemployment assistance category. But there are some people who are ineligible. Anyone who is teleworking with pay. So what that means is, I wasn't able to work at my job. They made me work from home. That's not eligible. Another category of ineligible is getting paid for your sick days or paid leave or something. If you're off and you're not working, but you're under your leave program, you're not going to be eligible. Also, undocumented workers aren't eligible.
Go ahead. I was going to say, go ahead.
I just want to run through real quickly who would be eligible for this. And it opens things up for a lot of categories of people who normally wouldn't be covered. You're eligible if you have been diagnosed with COVID-19 or you have symptoms of COVID-19 and you're seeking a diagnosis. So that's one category. Another is member of a household has been diagnosed. So even if you haven't been diagnosed, if somebody in your household has been diagnosed, so that would mean that you're probably quarantining or self-quarantining.
Mm-hmm.
If you're providing care for someone with COVID-19, if you're providing care for your child or a household member who can't attend school or work because it's closed due to COVID-19, so let's say I could work, but I have to be home with my kid because she's, 8 years old.
Sure.
And she doesn't have school. So that would be a category that you could apply. If you're quarantined or you've been advised by a healthcare provider to self-quarantine, if you've scheduled to start a job but now you can't because of COVID-19, so you're technically employed but you really can't get to the job site. Another category that's interesting, you've become the breadwinner for a household because the head of household just died of COVID-19. So that would be somebody who doesn't have a work history. The main breadwinner in the family just died. And normally you wouldn't get unemployment benefits because you haven't been employed. But now you suddenly would have to be the employed person. You can apply for unemployment. Another category is you had to quit your job as a direct result of COVID-19 or your place of employment is closed as a direct result of COVID-19. So those are all the circumstances under which you could avail yourself of the pandemic unemployment insurance.
Boy, they thought about everything. As you went through that list, they thought about just about everything.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's going to be exceptions to that.
Yeah,
there's going to be something they didn't think of, and somebody will say, wait a minute, I'm out in the cold. but we'll deal with those situations as they come up. But what I think Congress was after at this point was, let's put a huge blanket out there and try to cover as many people as possible to make sure that the economy doesn't stagger any more than it has to. And so this is their attempt to try to put a little bit in place to make sure that we can at least still function.
Well, and I had not thought of, and when you the first few of the when you started going through some of these individual cases, and I hadn't thought of that though. But when you think about the person seeking a diagnosis, or you have a member of your family, those kind of things take you out of circulation right away, because as the testing goes on, or you have to be in isolation, and that can really knock you while you're waiting. In this case, to know that you are eligible for unemployment it at least gives you a little bit of a cushion there.
Well, it's trying to encourage people not to show up to their work sick. That's really what the point of this is, for pity's sake, do not go to work when you are infectious, when you're sick, when you have these symptoms, when a family member or a household member has those symptoms, and then you're thinking, oh, but I got to go to work. How am I going to survive? This is the somewhat solution to that. It's certainly not perfect. It's certainly not like going to work as a normal worker. But it is at least something that might encourage somebody to stay at home and protect all of us while we're dealing with this.
Yeah. Ann Klockner here this morning with Legal Aid Works on News Talk 1230 WFVA. This is kind of too, like when we were talking about paying your mortgage and things like that last week, so many things, mm-hmm. Ann, have changed. That if you find yourself in a situation, it's worth I guess going to the Virginia Employment Commission website and starting to look up some of these things to see if your situation does qualify.
And I think you've raised a good point. This is all about information, and it's about information that changes quickly. And I'm just going to shock you here and tell you that not everything on the internet is accurate.
No.
It sometimes can be either old news or from an unreliable source. And so stick with some of the most recognized basic places to get information. And if you want to talk about unemployment, go to the Virginia Employment Commission's website. They're the ones who are the experts at this. And bless their hearts, I bet they're just covered over at this point. But they are putting a lot of information on their website. The Virginia Poverty Law Center has a wonderful set of materials on the COVID-19, and they're at vplc.org. Also, a very good general place to go and get information is the Virginia Legal Aid kind of consortium of legal aids. And so our website for all the legal aids all over Virginia is valegalaid.org. And I'm going to give you two other websites, NCLC, so that's National Consumer Law Center.org. Has a wonderful guide for surviving debt. And the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has a great website as well.
There are, like we have said, it seems that every time we get together now and talk about these situations, everything is changing week by week. And it's worth to keep up with this kind of thing, because you never know when you're going to need it or what your situation is going to be to where you may qualify for something.
And those are going to change even to next week or the week after. So when you think you've nailed it down, it's good to give another check to that website that you first learned something on. So keep on checking back. And if everything is staying the same, great. But if it's changing, you really want to keep up to date. Right now, we're dealing with the courts being closed. The courts have closed through April 26th. We are really expecting that to change, for them to push that date even further into May, but we haven't gotten the word on that yet. So we're still quoting April 26th on that date, but we're absolutely convinced that that's going to change.
Boy, and that creates, I'm sure, for what you do, just a whole nother set of issues, and for people that are in the pipeline and in waiting for a court case, it kind of puts them in limbo too.
Right, and for our clients who are low income clients, it's both a blessing and a curse. Hmm. In one respect, it's a blessing because the people who are coming after me, you know, like the creditors and the landlord and the mortgage companies and all those places, just get a little bit of a breather. But at the same time, if they have a need, if they're trying to get child support, for example, or something like that, it's very concerning that the courts may or may not be able to process applications for something that you need. Luckily, they have opened and been very clear from the beginning that an exception to the closure are emergencies like protective orders. So we're really glad that they are still processing those.
LegalAidWorks.org is the website. Ann Klockner is with LegalAidWorks. For people who aren't aware of what you do, describe the work that LegalAidWorks provides that you provide in this region.
Sure. So we exist because there's no right to a free lawyer when you're poor and you have a civil legal problem. The only time that free lawyer comes into play is when you've been accused of a crime. So when you're facing a civil legal issue like a foreclosure or an eviction or a domestic violence protective order, custody, support, garnishment of your bank account from creditors, all of those things are civil legal matters. And we exist to level the playing field so that people who are low income can get the fair shake that they deserve, and that their outcome in court is not dependent on how rich or how poor they are.
LegalAidWorks.org. Ann Klockner is here this morning. She is the executive director, and we will continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA. When we come back, we'll talk about dealing with creditors in these times on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Ann Klockner is here this morning. She is with LegalAidWorks, and we're talking about just a lot of situations we deal with now day to day. We talked about unemployment benefits. We're going to get into dealing with creditors in just a second. And we talk about how things have changed in the world, and in trying to think about how lawyers can work from home, that has to be a real challenge.
It is. We are very much creatures of habit. We love rules, and we love figuring out how those rules work. One big challenge for lawyers in this area is, to this day, the courts in our community still expect you to communicate with them through fax.
Really?
So, yeah. So, how do you fax remotely? A lot of us are not set up to do that at home. So there's several ways around that, but it takes some ingenuity to figure that out. So some of our employees are emailing what they want to fax to me, and then I go to the office, print it out, and put it in the fax machine. So that's the one workaround. Another workaround is we're looking into some companies that do this fax service, so that you email them and they will fax it to whoever you need it to be faxed to. But I could have sworn faxes were part of the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, but live and well, and that's how you communicate with the court.
That is so interesting. The other thing is, I consider today just trying to challenge you on something so you could say I object, because not being in court, you can't do that.
Right. We're in a different mode, and one of the things we're counseling our clients on now is how to negotiate a settlement because if the courts are not in session, the judge in the black robe is not going to be the one making the choice here. So either we wait for that person in the black robe in May or June or July to solve this issue, or the two parties on their own have to figure this out. So that's one of the things we're working on right now is what kind of deals, what kind of negotiated settlements can we make that will make sure that our clients get what they need.
Ann Klockner here this morning. She is with Legal Aid Works. She's the executive director, LegalAidWorks.org, to find out about some of the services and who they help out in this area. We last week talked about dealing when you're dealing with a landlord or a mortgage. This week, dealing with creditors. What does one do if you find yourself in the situation of today? And you do have debts that need to be attended to.
Well, we have, first of all, a really important thing to keep in mind is what we've been talking about, which is you have some potential sources of financial help. The expanded unemployment benefits, they cover, regular employees whose hours have been reduced or cut completely, but also now self-employed and independent contractors. So definitely apply for that at the VEC. So that's vec.virginia.gov. And also the CARE Act government checks, which are coming through this week, next week, we're hoping. And that's $1,200 a person, $500 for each dependent child. So those are just things to keep in mind is maybe tell your creditors, look, I'm going to be getting some unemployment. Can you hold off for a little bit? Another really important point that I want to make sure everyone understands is how terrible an idea it would be to take out a high interest loan right now. It's very tempting. It would solve a really immediate problem, but it would raise more problems than it solves. I'm talking specifically about payday loans or title loans. Are almost, I would say, never a good idea. It's almost impossible for them to overcome. If you were in a financial hole to begin with, this digs that financial hole deeper. So never, never, never take out those high-interest loans to solve a debt issue.
Boy, that is a good reminder. And one of the things we talked about last week was when you do get in a bind with when you're dealing with as we talked about mortgages and landlords, is don't all of a sudden disappear. Try to track them down and talk about it. I guess that's the same way here when you're dealing with creditors. Face up to it and try to work something out.
Yeah, absolutely. Another way to manage the various things that you owe right now is think about, first of all, your bank account. Your bank account is vulnerable at this point to creditors coming in and garnishing after they've gotten a judgment against you to say that you owe money. So what we're suggesting is several things about your bank account. Number one, limit access to your bank account. What I mean by that is some people have given authorization to some of their creditors to automatically debit your bank account for payments. You say, okay, the credit card company can come in and every month take out money from my bank account. Mm-hmm. So we're suggesting that you stop this so that you can get control over which creditors are paid first. You can use your bank's bill pay service to make automatic payments, but that gives you more control because you can start and stop that. But if you've already given that control to a creditor, you need to claw that back, and you need to make sure that they aren't automatically authorized to just dip into your credit, your bank account.
Well, that's a good idea, because that does open you up then in this situation to really having no control.
Right. And after April 26th, when the courts open again, or whenever they open again, you wouldn't want your CARES Act check to be in that bank account. Your creditors are likely going to be filing bank garnishments as soon as the court will allow them. So we're advising you to get that money out of your bank account quickly if you have judgments against you, because that's the first thing they're going to do, is to target your bank account. The other thing to keep in mind when you're dealing with a lot of different kinds of debt, I owe my car payment, my rent is coming due, my utilities are not getting paid. It gets to be really overwhelming. So we are suggesting that if you have debt, as a general rule, you want to pay them in the following order. Absolutely, first debt to pay is your rent or your house payments. You've got to keep a roof over your head. Everything else gets harder and harder when you're homeless or when you're facing an eviction. We've put off evictions for a little bit. The foreclosures might be put off for a little bit. That's great, but it's not going to last forever. So any amount of money you can scrape together needs to be put first toward rent. The second thing we would prioritize would be your utility bills that make living in your house possible and comfortable. So have electricity, have heat, have running water, all of those utilities that you're paying for now, try to keep those going as well. The third category would be food, other basic necessities like your medical needs. The fourth category, I would say, below that is your car payment. If you need that to either go to work or go and get things from the grocery store, you don't want a repo in the middle of all this. And then the fifth category would be any other remaining debts. So it really goes from shelter to food to car payments, any remaining debts. Don't be paying on an old credit card debt when you can't afford your rent. The rent is the most important thing because of the practicality of making sure that you at least have a roof over your head, especially in a pandemic where we're all supposed to be sheltering in place. That's the most critical thing to prioritize.
Again, rent, utilities, food, car payment, and any other debts. And that's a good list. And that really does prioritize, because like you say, to have a place to be living, you can attack all the rest. And that's a great list and good things to think about.
And we've got a little bit of breathing room between now and April 26th, when the courts open again, or maybe a little bit further if they push that out, because there can't be any evictions without a court order. And so landlords will be lining up. I'm sure they will be filing eviction complaints, but those still have to be processed by the court. So the same thing with debt collection lawsuits. Those in Virginia are called warrants in debt. So if you get a complaint filed against you when the courts open up again, that's certainly something you have to deal with. But for right now, you've got a little bit of a breather, but what we're suggesting is during this breather, use that stimulus check, use the unemployment benefits to pay the most critical things as much as you possibly can. There's no question that when you've lost your job, especially as suddenly as a lot of people have, you're not going to be able to pay everything easily every month just like you normally had. If you ever were easily able to pay your debts, most people were living paycheck to paycheck or pretty close to that. But what we're trying to do is get the word out about how damaging it is to have high interest loans. Don't fall into that trap, and use whatever unemployment or other benefits you have to pay the most critical debts first.
And I guess pay what you can, and if you can, make sure you stay up to date with the rent. And it, as you get as you go down this list, if you have to pay what you can, but is it important to at least pay something?
Yeah, and I think that shows, first of all, good faith. It doesn't mean that the obligations that you have go away. It doesn't mean that the amount of money that you owe goes away. Those are all things that nobody in Congress has wiped the slate clean on. Those are debts you've incurred, and you're going to have to pay them. But how you pay them, under what circumstances you pay them, we're suggesting that you try to get a little control over that. Don't just pay the creditor that annoys you the most, that bugs you the most, that comes after you the most. Try to prioritize the debts to be paid that keep your family safe and housed. That's the most critical thing right now. It's terrible that you'd have to add all of the other anxieties that we're dealing with right now and to put another anxiety into the mix, which is dealing with debt. It's just a lot to handle. And so we're hoping to get the word out to people about how you can gain a little bit of control back in a situation that we don't feel really in control of at all. By at least prioritizing the debts that you do owe. So take a good, serious look at your bank account. See which automatic payments can be stopped because they may not be the priority that you want to have come out of your bank account. You may want to set up a different set of controls for that bank account so that it's up to you what you take out of your bank account, not what somebody else reaches in and gets out automatically. A few months ago, maybe it made sense for that stuff to all work automatically, and they came in and they took your money. Now you may want to come back into control of your bank account and say, no, I'm going to keep track of this. I'm not going to let this just automatically be paid out to a former creditor of mine. Yes, they owe money, but we want them to prioritize which things get paid first.
And this came about, you think about it, how quickly this came about, that a month ago this was on none of our radars, to this extent anyway, and mm-hmm. suddenly we're talking about this and having to deal with this.
Right, and I think that, again, we want to come back to some of the great websites. I really want folks to know that there's resources out there. We've been working with the issue of debtors and when people owe money, what are their rights? We've been dealing with that for decades, so we know a lot of information about your rights as a debtor. Can the creditor do that? Can they call me up in the middle of the night? All kinds of things that we've been getting across to folks over the years about your rights as a debtor. This is your moment now to really focus on those materials that we've developed and that some of our partners have developed over the years. So again, the National Consumer Law Center is a great resource, nclc.org. They have a guide to surviving debt. Virginia Poverty Law Center, vplc.org. And the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, I think that's cfpb.gov, I think. I'm not sure what the website is, but that's a federal agency okay. that is designed to help consumers with their financial issues. So they have a whole bunch of great, reliable, very practical how-to materials on their website.
Real quick, before and then we need to take a break, and this may become another show at some point, but you know, can they call you up in the middle of the night and demand payment?
No. So there's a Fair Credit Protection Act, and it allows creditors to try to collect their money. That's their right. Mm-hmm. You owe them money. but they have to do it in a reasonable manner. And the way that they've defined reasonable is not after 9 o'clock at night and not before 8 in the morning. So it's really considered to be harassing to call somebody up at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And it's also easy to stop those calls by merely writing to them and saying, stop calling me. And once they've received that letter, they must stop calling you. They don't suddenly have to stop collecting. They can go to court. They can do other things to collect your money, but they can't call you repeatedly.
Ann Klockner is with Legal Aid Works. She's the executive director, legalaidworks.org. We'll wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Ann Klockner here this morning with Legal Aid Works. Before we get out of here, Ann, I know there's a lot of good information on your website. Also, there's information if a person wants to be a donor for Legal Aid Works. That is always accepted.
Oh, we sure could use that. It's a very uncertain time for us. If you have any ability to support us in any amount, you can go to legalaidworks.org and click the donate button. We'd be thrilled to have you help because we're all in this together, and we'd love to have that support as we help our low-income neighbors in need. We also have great information on our website. It's changing every day. We're adding more things. I think I'm going to add more things when I get off this call. So it's at legalaidworks.org. You click on the resource tab, and the first resource tab underneath that is the COVID-19 information. So go to our website. It will link you also to Virginia Poverty Law Center, which we've been talking about before, VPLC, and they have great materials as well.
Great stuff this morning. If you missed it, listen, we will be posting this on our Facebook page afterwards, because you talked about just unemployment, a lot of changes with unemployment, but especially some groups that never were part of unemployment, you can now get unemployment.
Yeah, and that's the big takeaway, is folks who normally would think about unemployment are getting more benefits and longer, and people who had traditionally been left out, like self-employed and contractors, are now suddenly capable, perhaps, of getting some benefits. That would be a game changer.
Go to the Virginia Employment Commission website, vec.virginia.gov, for that kind of information. And again, the Legal Aid Works website is legalaidworks.org. Ann Klockner, thank you so much. We will do this again next week. I depend on you to come up with interesting topics, and you do, and we'll get together and talk again next week. Thank you so much for what you do, Ann.
I appreciate what you do, Ted. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
That is it. We will see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.